I ran in the 5K in Olympics Games at Wembley in 1948. I have been associated with athletics for 75 to 76 years. I joined Belgrave Harriers in 1935. I became a reasonably good athlete and was in county standard condition and expected before the war that I might go to the Olympics in Helsinki in 1940. That was denied me because of another career that I took up at that time, and also I missed 1944. But with all the luck in the world, with a lot of hard work, I managed to get into the Olympic team for 1948 and competed badly, but nevertheless competed. Thereafter, I won county championships and was placed in national championships and retired from athletics at the age of 36 to take up a life involving administration, team management, public dress announcing at White City and Crystal Palace and various other places.
You obviously have a lifetime's association with and involvement in athletics. I'm guessing somebody must have put you forward to carry the Olympic torch.
Nobody put me forward, but the British Olympic Association, about this time last year, wrote, I think, to all Olympians, especially 1948 Olympians, offering four things. One was to carry the torch. Two was to go to a lunchtime do. Three was to have a tour of the Olympic site. And four was to get tickets to go to see one day of the Olympics. So far, I'm told I've got two tickets for the last day of the athletics, which coincides with the final of the 5,000, for which I'm very happy. The second is that I'm told that I'm invited to go to a lunch hosted by Princess Anne.
And what about the torch?
I was told that I wasn't going to be given a torch, despite the fact that I followed it up, but it failed dismally on the score that I did not get a medal in 1948.
What's your earliest memory of running competitively? Can you remember when somebody first said to you, Bill, you're really good at this?
Oh, yes, very easily, because I had ideas when I first started work that I could do running better than anything else, and a firm I worked for had a sports day, and I went in the mile there and won the thing very, very comfortably. And I thought then, well, it's something worth doing. And then became a senior member of Belgrave Harriers. And
how old would you be at that point?
That would be in 1935. I was about 18.
Right.
Then, of course, I indulged in all the training that was going available, and we did big cross-country races.
And what was your ambition at that point? What was your hope and dream?
Well, at that stage, at 18, I hadn't got any great ambition, but that was 1935, but as 1936-7 came on, I was getting better, and I was getting up to county standard and was doing well in cross-country races, and suddenly, you know, out of the blue, you suddenly think, oh, well, the Olympics are brewing, and therefore is a possibility that I might be selected.
So you had your hopes pinned on 1940?
My hopes were pinned on 1940, where I would have expected to go as a 1500-metre runner. But, of course, they were denied because I had by then been drawn into the services and was firmly embraced by Bomber Command.
Tell me a bit, if you would, about that. How did you get into Bomber Command, by the way? What was that route?
Ah, well, now, I was called up, let's put it that way, I didn't volunteer, in 1940. And
did you think of running the other way? They'd never have caught you.
Anyway, I was then called to go to a school for a medical, see, and the doctor who saw me said, which service do you want to go in? I said, well, my father, who had earned a military medal in the First World War, saving his CO, told me never to go in the army because it was a very messy business in trenches. Now, the other alternatives were the Navy. I don't like water, so I discarded that. So I said, well, there's only one other thing to do is to go in the RAF.
And, Bill, at any stage, well, at this point, were you worried? I mean, this is all a bit light-hearted, and I know you were forced to do it, as so many people were, but I'm guessing you must have had some concern about your own safety.
Oh, well, I think that applies to everybody who goes in the services. The unknown is there. You don't know what to expect, really.
You don't sound like you were terribly concerned, or looking back, that's not something that sticks in the mind.
Let me say that I am not a nervous type. I'm quite phlegmatic, and I wasn't a bit nervous about coming to talk to you today, for example.
Going to war, slightly more anxiety-raising.
Well, yes, but then we were all called to do it. If we were fit enough, we did it, and I had achieved my ambition to get into the RAF. What was to be expected of me after that, then I didn't know.
And you were pretty handy, weren't you?
I survived the whole war and achieved quite a few missions in various aircraft over a long period of time.
And not everyone was so lucky, but you were.
I was very lucky. I got through without being shot down. A lot of my mates got shot down, silly boys, but they were. They did.
What was your closest scrape?
Oh, well, everyone was a close scrape. We got shot at every time we went out, without doubt. Some worse than others. I suppose perhaps my nearest scrape was in this country when I had an engine go on fire on takeoff with a full bomb load and petrol load.
What did you do?
Well, we had to circle around. We couldn't get very high with all that lot on board and only three engines, and I had to preserve those in case I lost another one. So we got rid of some of the fuel, jetted them, and then we had to think about getting rid of the bomb load. So anyway, selected a field. This was in Huntingdonshire, and we dropped our bomb load, thought nothing of it, and then went into land because we were light and therefore we'd easily land on three engines. But we had a follow-up on that because I think the following Saturday, the crew were in Huntingdon at a pub there having a pint or two, and we heard a local saying that he'd been bombed by the Germans during the week and broken windows, etc., etc. Well, we listened to this for a little while, and eventually we decided it must have been ours and not Germans. We enlightened him, and he was delighted with it, and we had free beer for the rest of the night.
So the war ends, and I think you got back into the insurance game after the war, is that right?
Well, that's what I had a job to go back to, yes. I was with the London Lancashire Insurance Company, who had contributed a little bit towards my mess bill during the war.
So 1948, you're maybe not at your peak, but you're still able
far
to...
Far from it. I was too old. I was rising 32 then.
What do you recall about the intensity of the moments before the race and the race itself?
Well, to me, having been competitive before the war and immediately after the war, to me it was, just as far as I was concerned, just another race. With a special effect, of course, that it happens to be the Olympics. Mm.
But you were focused.
I was focused. I was focused enough to try to get selection for the final, but it didn't work out that way.
And this phlegmatic approach to life, did it mean that you shrugged your shoulders and thought, well, you can't win every Olympic heat?
Well, that was the attitude, because I was then beyond it, knowing that never again was I going to get in an Olympic team.
What do you think of athletes today?
Oh, I admire them because, you know, they've got to do a hell of a lot of hard work to get where they are to do those sort of times. They have advantages which I never had, and of course they've got all the facilities that go with them now, the medical side, the feeding side and everything under the sun to keep them at their absolute best.
The very fact you ran and ran for so many years and also have been around athletics for pretty much all your life, how much do you think that's contributed to the fact here you are at 95, still going and sharp as a tack?
Oh, I think it's contributed considerably because I've been mixing with young people all my life. At the moment, I'm well connected with service people because we're got a group which were trying to raise money for this thing which is being opened in Green Park by the Queen on June the 28th, a memorial to 55,000 plus people who lost their lives with Bomber Command. I've been working hard on that and still am looking for money as much as I can get.
Do you, when you see people get gold at the Olympics, does some small part of you think, that could have been me, that should have been me?
I don't think quite like that. I don't think it should have been me. I think that it could have been me in 40 and 44, yes. I was coming along well enough, and knowing what I got back to after 6 years of heavy drinking, then I know that I could have done a lot better times in 40